Ladies and gentlemen, dear members, hello. Hello. Okay. First of all, welcome to the first part of the Uralo General Assembly 2015, which was convened, as you know, in line with the Dublin ICANN meeting. And while preparing this over the last couple of months, we decided this time to have two parts to conduct our General Assembly in parts, a content part in the morning, late morning, and a statutory part in the afternoon. I think meanwhile, all of you have received this nice folder with the key documents in it. Key documents are supposed to be the General Assembly, the agenda for the General Assembly part one, and the agenda for part two in the afternoon, together with some key documents like the annual report. And we have prepared some more documents, like a draft paper on Uralo outreach and engagement, what we will discuss in the afternoon, like some criteria for the board and secretariat election. And we also have an overview about gender and regional distribution of Uralo positions or functions held by members over the last 8 years. So you must have the key documents in this folder or on the stick, which was shared by staff. So document, what you will not find as a hard copy in the folder, you will find on the stick at least. So to somehow a little bit protect Amazonas, we made a selection which documents are really essential to print and which document can just get via the USB stick. So this folder is important, particularly for the second part, our General Assembly in the afternoon, which is a little bit more complex than the morning part. And the morning part will concentrate, as we said, issue of the public interest. And before I make my introduction, I will hand over to Olivier again, because Olivier is the moderator of this. I'm somehow personally involved with his input paper. I leave it now to Olivier.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And I think that the first thing, just before we start, should we just have a quick, and I'm turning over to our chair here, should we just have a quick roll call of the people who are in the room so that on the transcript it might be easier to identify when you say Yulia or Mathieu, who is, whether it's Mathieu, et cetera. It will just say your name and your RALO and your be quickly.
Quickly,
okay.
Because we have to redo it in the afternoon.
We have to do it in the afternoon as well again, yeah, because it's for the transcripts. It's mechanical. Otherwise, it will say male voice, female voice. Doesn't really help when you have a debate. So let's start on the table, starting from this far corner. Just your name and your affiliation. And then we'll go around the table. In the meantime, I'll ask staff to be ready with the flying mic. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Rainer Rodewald. I'm from the Medienstadt Leipzig e.V.
Werner Hülsmann, German Association for Data Protection and Privacy.
Jimmy Schulz, LOAD, the new ALS in the future, and ALEC member.
Ben Collet-Matillon, Wikimedia Switzerland.
Roger Wetsch, ISOC Catalonia.
Anne-Marie Joly pour eSenior.
Manuel Schneider, Wikimedia Austria.
Пламена Попова, University of Library Studies, Bulgaria.
Sana Prichotka, Ukraine, European Media Platform.
Oliver Pasek, Digitale Courage.
Mathieu Camus, ISOC France.
Mikhail Medrish, Internet Support Foundation, Russia.
Yulia Morenes, Tech Together Against Cybercrime, based in France and Uralo Secretariat.
Dor Smirnov, ISOC Russia Chapter. Lauren Allison, Development and Public Responsibility Department.
Bill Drake, departing Urela board member.
And representing the German Association for...
I'm representing the German
Association. So he's an ALS rep, just for the records. Wolf Ludwig, Communica, Serge Swillon,
outgoing vice chair of at-large.
Silvia Vivanco, at-large staff.
Ivy Ulrich, at-large staff.
Gisela Gruber, at-large staff.
Caroline Silbernagel, .HIV Initiative.
Yrjö Länsipuro, ISOC Finland, and also Ural's representative to NOMCOM.
Rida Kutin, Slovene Consumer Association.
Annette Mühlberg, Network New Media.
Sandra Hofrichter, Medienstadt Leipzig e.V. and ALAC.
Donna Trumpi, ISOC Italy.
Gaetano, European Individual Users Association.
Vladimir Kovsky, Ukrainian Internet Association.
Donna Hacke, German FITOC.
Bogdan Manolea, APTI, Romania.
Petro Vega, ISOC, Portugal.
And at the back?
Ariel Leal, at large staff.
Sana Ali, Next Gen.
Tamara Bizuk, Next Gen Program.
Laura Abba, Italian National Research Council and ISOC Italy.
Gabriela Szczytek, ICANN staff.
Good morning, Jean-Jacques Subrenard, a member of ISOC San Francisco Bay Area, of which I am the unbelievable global ambassador. I'm also a member of the ICG and of the Net Mundial Council. I am with Roberto, one of the founding members of the Individual Users Association. Thank you.
Maya Ennis, ISOC Norway.
Eric Blix, ISOC Norway.
Narine Khachatryan, Fellowship, Armenia, Media Education Center, ALS.
And then on the other side of the room, the mic is working.
Monica Jolnier-Ruda, I'm from Center for Internet and Human Rights in Berlin.
Hi, everyone. Bastian Goslings from ISOC Netherlands.
Philippe Batreau, Age Numérique.
Bonjour, Sébastien Bachelet, arrivant à...
Eric Clark, just an internet user.
Dade Lorenzo from .gal.
Laina Rahim, ICANN staff.
No, it's not working. Yeah. Oh. The microphone has died.
Lana Galstan, ISOC Armenia.
Cyranus Vardanyan, ISOC Armenia, individual member in Uralo and AP Uralo chair.
Thank you. And there's somebody who's holding the mic at the moment, and that's a staff member with two mics.
Yeah, a large staff, Ariel.
Yeah, I think we've gone through the whole round. Thank you. And apologies for the time it's taken, but it will help with the transcription. The second thing I need to also quickly say on housekeeping is when you speak, we have interpreters. Please say your name before you speak. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to recognize all of the different people. But you can say your first name in general. That would work. We have interpretation in Spanish and in French, I believe. Yes. It is French, yeah. So you'll be able to, you can also speak French or Spanish if you wish, but everyone should have their little headsets ready, native tongue or in a tongue that is not English. Right, so we have a topic for discussion today. It's about the public interest, a big, big word in ICANN, the public interest. We have to define this. Well, no, we don't really have to define it, but we definitely have to discuss what the public interest is and perhaps try and see if we can get a better idea of what the public interest means for our community of end users. Some parts of ICANN are saying it is undefinable, and yet the public interest is actually inscribed in many different official documents that pertain to ICANN's mission, that pertain to ICANN's contracts, the affirmation of commitments, whole number of documents that speak about the public interest. So what is it? We have a few guests who are with us. The paper that you have in your hands, or rather on your computer, is drafted by Wolf Ludwig. We have Bill Drake, who has joined us, who is, as we saw, he's with an at-large structure, but at the same time also has been very much involved in issues of public interest. And we will be having... Konstantinos is not able to make it. So we'll have the points made by both of our I should say panelists, I guess we could call you, or intervenants. And then afterwards, I hope we can engage into a discussion and start building from there, whether you agree, you disagree, what you feel is the public interest, how do you think we should define the public interest in ICANN. And hopefully, at the end of the time that we have allocated to this discussion, we will be able to come up with a consensus, or maybe not a consensus, but at least we'll know where we all stand. So, let me turn the floor over to, shall we start with Wolf? So, Wolf, please take us through your paper. Wolf Ludwig.
Thanks, Olivier, for the introduction. Pre-remark would be when I joined the ICANN community, the larger sense, around 2006. One of my key orientation points was the public. And having been at ICANN for quite a couple of years and at conferences, I had to realize that the public interest always were somehow flew. It was always mostly somewhere in the air. You could guess it must be like a star somewhere around, but it was not really crispy. I couldn't. Over the years, I realized that from certain constituencies or parts of ICANN, it became more and more contested, particularly among contracted parties. Always arguing whenever there is a consultation, well, public interest, to define, etc. Here, it's a vague term. Okay, then we had the contradiction that it is mentioned 3 times in the bylaws and 5 times in the AOC, in the affirmation of commitment. But paper is patient, as we know, and as long as people do not clearly refer to it, it has more or less no importance. Then suddenly, last year, I got a consultancy mandate from Swiss Ofcom, and part of this mandate was, we need a working paper on the public interest. Could you please provide? So I start tracing the term. And when you start tracing the term, it becomes immediately clear if you stick on public interest as a legal term or legal category, it's getting more and more common. But for me, it was always a political theory from the very beginning. I'm not a lawyer, therefore I never look from this lawyer's point of view or as a jurist. I always felt myself as a political animal, and I looked on it from a political viewpoint. An advantage in this respect was I had some very good support. Most part of the thesis paper of my wife around Gute Polizei, Bonn Police, was around public interest and when public spaces were historically evolved. And having been involved in her research work, it was easy for me to trace back now in our context. And therefore, after the introduction here on this thesis paper, I think you all have a copy in front of you, I tried to trace some basic terms you can find in various European languages, starting from the German Gemeinwohl. Then you have the Greek term koine symphoron. I don't know whether I pronounce it properly now. Then you have in Latin salus publica, bonum commune, bonum generalis. In French, bien public. In Italian, il bene comune. And in English, common goods. So there are in various European languages equivalents we call public interest. And if you do not trace the right equivalence, you may run into the wrong direction. I've seen a lot of other papers on the public interest which did not reflect this historical origin, certain terms. So for me, it was my first consideration to look in what parts of Europe, in what language cultures, you have similarities or the equivalents. Then it became rather clear that it starts, I do not have to read the paper again, starts with Aristotle in the ancient Greek period with his concept of polis. And polis was simply said afterwards, not really taken over, but the Roman civitas was largely influenced by the Aristoteles concept. Therefore, it's rather clear that ancient period, for the antique period in Europe, it's clearly traceable, and you can really break it down. Another step was then, this is research work, that a guy called Michael Stolleis, a German law historian, has wrote a lot of about Gemeinwohlformen, what is meaning public interest formulas. And he has also meanwhile accomplished 3 volumes tracing public law all over Europe. It's an exciting work. Okay, you must be deeply interested in history and in public law to get into the details. And then afterwards, we had from the Middle Ages onward, early modern times, we had the concepts of gute Polizei, bon police in France. What is more or less the basic of modern interior policy? And all of them in common, however you call them, they justify new laws, new ordinances, in the interest of the general or the broader public. So this is a key element you can really trace from the ancient Greeks over the Romans, even in old Middle Ages time, even at times when there was we had mostly feudalist structures in Europe. So whenever there was a commune or a city independent from aristocracy, all their laws and ordinances were made in the interest of the general public or the citizens. So this is so evident that, in my opinion, there is almost no doubt in the European cultural historical context. So afterwards you can follow up. There are related terms, equivalents, a lot of them. Like in German, we had Allmend or the Commons. I do not go into details here. Then you can trace, even in European constitutions, I give some examples here from the Swiss constitution 2 centuries ago, French constitution 1958, the Spanish Constitution 76, and many more. So there is clear reference and evidence to it. My conclusion from this is it's not a phantom, as some people pretend. It can be clearly, if you are interested, you will find. If you are not really interested, of course, you can just overlook it. If you are interested, you can pinpoint it, nail it. You can really make something out of it. And for me, from an internet user point of view, or at large community, I would like to see having the public interest as a guiding principle of ICANN's board decision. So whenever there are different categories to be considered, to be reflected, when there are some conflicts of interest, in my final decision should be based on those. This would be my, Martin Luther King said, I had a dream. So this would be my dream. The opposite would be my nightmare. It's a very regional approach. I cannot talk about other regions. I don't know enough about the history of Latin America, okay, I know it was basically a colonial history. The same was from Mosca and Asia. So it's a very Eurocentric European point of view and approach. But I can imagine in other parts of the world, you have a lot of similarities. Therefore, my aim was, after we have discussed this, we have modified it, we have extended it. It's a working paper, it's a thesis paper. And once we may agree on the substance, at least, to take this and Delos, and to invite our colleagues to continue and to trace the published. So once all five relos did it, so I think we would we could come up with enough sort of proof to say there may be an animal called global.
Thank you very much, Wolf. I'm Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. One additional little bit of housekeeping with regards to the Adobe Connect room that we have. You can log into this room and you can consult any documents that we are sharing, staff sharing documents and so on in there. So I know you have the document also on your USB stick, which was included in your welcome packs. Could I perhaps ask if we have a spare staff member? I don't know if we have any one spare to do the rounds and help people to get on the Adobe Connect or let them know how to find that, because we're going to need that room all of today. We're going to be sharing documents and so on in there. Over to Bill Drake.
Male voice. Okay, this is Bill Drake. Hello, everybody. So I'm actually here wearing multiple hats. I've been on the Uralo board, although I'm going off. I'm departing chair 3 years of the non-commercial users constituency in the GNSO, and I'm an incoming non-com person, but I'm not really, none of those are relevant. What is relevant is that I teach international communications and internet governance at the University of Zurich and have been working on these kinds of issues for the past 30 years. So I have a long engagement with groups in the U.S., where I'm from originally, that call themselves public groups. So this is, to me, a very interesting set of issues that people have had trouble with this concept in the context of ICANN, and I'm really glad that we decided to talk about it here. I think it's really interesting and important to have a conversation at the European level about how this is viewed from a region. Wolf's paper is a wonderful historical background around the broader concept, and I really wish I could see the longer thing that it's pulled from, but that's written in German, right? So I'm out of luck on that.
No, it's written in English.
It's written in English? Then I would love to see it.
It has to be released by the Ofcom.
Okay, well, I look forward to it. In any event, I think he's put this into a wonderful broader context, but I want to bring it back just by way of booting up conversation to the immediate problems of the relationship between public interest and internet governance. And I just want to note, to start, that the notion of the public interest is used in a number of international instruments, not just in the ICANN mechanism. So, for example, the Net Mundial multi-stakeholder statement that was agreed last year in Sao Paulo says that the internet's a global resource managed in the public interest. The International Telecommunications Union has adopted multiple agreements referencing this. The core treaties of the ITU, in fact, with regard to internet governance specifically, say that IP-based networks must be interoperable and globally reachable in the public interest, and that governments must work to ensure adequate protection of public interests in the management of internet resources, including domain names and addresses. And as we know, the ICANN bylaws and affirmation of commitments invoke the term 3 and 5 times respectively. So the term is very much in usage, and yet the problem is there is no real agreement what it is. And I remember 10 years ago when we were in the World Summit on the Information Society, and everybody was walking around saying, well, we don't know what internet governance is. How are we going to negotiate? Well, similarly, we're facing the same kind of challenge here. We can't be holding up as the ultimate standard of behavior and analysis of policies something that has no clarity at all as to what it might mean. It may not be so easy to come to a singular, bounded definition of the public interest. This young lady gets to try to write the report for ICANN that does this, or at least helps to move it along. But I think we can at least begin to bound the concept a bit, or at least try to. And I think this has some urgency, and not just because it's in the strategic plan that we should do this. I think it's important to recognize in the ICANN context where a lot of the references to the public interest are coming from. And that is, as it happens, the U.S. domestic political process. The National Telecommunications and Information Administration, of course, is part of the U.S. government, and in its various efforts in working with the community to boot up ICANN and create the bylaws and all those things, and then, of course, later defining the affirmation of commitments, was using this terminology, which has long-standing currency in telecommunications and broadcast regulation in the United States. The term really goes back to the Radio Act of 1927 in the United States and was then incorporated into the Communications Act of 1934, which is the founding document for much of U.S. communications law and created the Federal Communications Commission and things like that. And I thought I would just mention a few of the concepts that are potentially of relevance here to us. And again, I don't think they can be simply generalized into the ICANN space because it's a different environment. But yet, there's some things that are at least worth noting. And it should be said, by the way, that the question of exactly how the public interest is defined has been fought over by telecommunications lawyers, scholars, policymakers in the United States for 100 years, or since the Radio Communications Act. Even though the standard has been used constantly and invoked constantly, there's never been a singular definition. But here are some of the kinds of things that have been pursued as overarching principles of communications policy in the name of the public interest. Universal availability of telecommunications networks. Everybody should have the ability to connect to the net, whether they actually have service or not, of course, depends on costs, considerations, local availability, etc. But in principle, the telecommunications networks were viewed as essentially common carriers that should be made available to everyone. This is in traditional regulatory policy. There were notions of price management. I don't want to say price controls, but prices for telecommunications were regulated in the public interest. Market concentration. The extent to which you could have market power and concentration in the industry in a particular segment was considered to be a key question from a public interest standpoint. Mm-hmm. Consumer protection, the notion that consumers should have some recourse if they are treated badly by service providers. A broad balance of commercial and non-commercial interests so that non-commercial spaces were reserved in the radio frequency spectrum and so on. This was also part of the concept. A broad balance between particular individual and a broader public interest, which is can be thought of either as the aggregate of all individual interests or something beyond, you know. With regard to radio frequency spectrum, the allocation of a scarce resource to different services and stations was done in the public interest. And the radio spectrum was viewed as something that could not be owned by any party, only be used. You were a broadcaster or other user of a spectrum. You were being given a license to use it for a while, but it was not yours. Okay? Some of these concepts don't sound completely remote from ICANN and the world of the DNS and so on. Here's one that is remote in the broadcast environment, content regulations. I personally do not want to see and too involved in content management issues, but there were things like the fairness doctrine in broadcasting, the requirement to air public service announcements on private broadcast networks, so on. Public safety announcements. Now, much of that has changed with the deregulation of telecommunications and the move towards a multi-provider competitive environment. But the point is, these are some concepts that were fundamental to the notion of electronic communications regulation. And while there are a lot of people who want to believe that ICANN is not a regulator, ICANN does sign contracts that specify terms and conditions with the registries and registrars. So from my standpoint, I do think of ICANN as being a regulator. The question is then, by analogy, are any of those concepts relevant to the work of ICANN? And are there other concepts from other countries, other regions? And one of the things that I'm really looking forward to the research from staff and to the larger dialogue that I think will happen over the next half year within the community, one of the reasons I'm looking forward to that is because I think what we need here is to have, as Wolf said, I don't know too much about what's going on in other regions. I don't know how the notion of public interest has been defined or implemented in Latin America, in Asia, if there are cognate concepts, if the words are different, but there's a similar sort of general overarching requirement. And so there's a real research project, I think, that has to be done there to try to bound this in a bit in the ICANN context. Let me conclude by simply saying, because Wolf referred to this, whether or not one can come to some sort of agreed definition, or it's even productive to try, is indeed controversial in the ICANN community. There are a lot of people in the business community who say this is pointless, we've never been able to do this in telecom. And I have colleagues in civil society who also are of that view. I personally think that we nevertheless have to give it a shot to at least come to a closer understanding together. I've organized a workshop at the IGF meeting in Brazil in 2 weeks that will have many ICANN people on it where we will talk about these issues. And I congratulate Wolf and others in Uralo in agreeing to launch this conversation here. Really needed. We need better research and we need a full dialogue involving the whole community.
Thank you very much, Bill. Now I note there's already a hand in the on the Adobe Connect on the screen here, but we'll take the questions and we'll launch the debate and discussion. Okay, debate and discussion afterwards. Let's go over to Laura now for another view.
Thank you very much. This is Lauren Allison for the record. I am program manager at the Development and Public Responsibility Department, DPRD. That's the one you've been hearing from all week on the online learning platform or fellowship or Next Gen. And I see we have some in the corner. Thanks for coming. Thank you very much for having me here as well to talk about this topic. I must give apologies as well for Nora. She was hoping to make it and was unable to because of some travel. So as everyone is very well aware, the topic has been one that has been of a lot of importance for different groups within ICANN and as well through all of our documents, as been already mentioned. There was an attempt to try and define this back in 2013-2014. Ni Quenor led the strategy panel on the public responsibility framework. It was tasked with two things, looking at how ICANN approaches the term public interest and also looking at how ICANN approaches public responsibility work. What the panel did, they had open community sessions in Buenos Aires, Singapore. They had webinars, public comment period. They took all of the input from the community on what they thought the public interest was and put forward a proposed definition. I know that ALAC had sent in a letter to the board to strongly support the report in its output. However, as many of you are aware, the panels weren't very well, for one reason or another, weren't adopted very strongly. So that definition is there to be looked at and to be referenced, but it has never been formally adopted. So what we have realized over the last maybe 4 or 5 meetings is this topic keeps coming up and up. So we got together as a group of staff to look at internally from our operational standpoint how public interest is understood in our ICANN operations, the different documents that we have that reference the term public interest, any understandings departments have about the topic as well, and how any definitions or a single definition or parameters of a definition would impact operationally, whether that be fiscally or legally, any of our work if we adopted certain definitions. So that work currently is ongoing. This work is just to understand from an internal perspective what what sort of understandings we already have. And then what we're looking to do is just compile some output that will be able to be used by the community when they're ready to start on this topic. So one of the things that has been said in conversations with community members, particularly in Buenos Aires, is I don't know if anybody's noticed, but we are quite busy. The community is quite busy at the moment with a number of different issues. So there currently is not enough bandwidth for people to work on this. So as staff, what we are doing is making sure that as most possible, we have resources available for the community to commence discussion when they are ready to do so. And I know, Bill, we have talked about this as well, the need to have different resources, possibly on a wiki space and access, which would have things like Wolf, if agreeable, your paper as well. Just all the different resources on that kind of cover the complexity of this issue as well. So I think that's it from me from that. I'm happy to take any questions on that. And also I'm very, very interested to hear, particularly from you, what would be useful in taking this conversation forward. As noted, it's in the strategic plan looking at a definition or parameters of definitions. So what from your perspective would be very useful when the community is ready to start making conversations on this topic? So thank you.
Thank you very much, Lauren. So we've had some definitions, some various points of view, some of the history, some of the reasons why there isn't a real definition of the public interest yet on the table. Now we'll start on the discussion. We have two ways of being in the queue. You can either put your hand up in the Adobe Connect room, but for those people who are based around the table, the best way to use your card, you would wonder why you have the card, and put your card as such, so then I can put the list together and then call upon you. In start with Jean-Jacques Subrenat, who was first to put himself up in the queue, and I'll go on through the list of people. Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you, this is Jean-Jacques speaking. First, I'd like to commend those who took the initiative on the Uralo leadership team of concentrating on this very important issue. I'd like to thank you, Wolf, for the work you did on this. Thank Bill also on the very valuable additions which you brought to us this morning. I'd like to make three remarks. The first is about a point of legal fact. It's that in a very small number of countries, I'm thinking of Finland specifically, the right to internet access is now an opposable right. Of course, underline the word opposable. That's the important point. Opposable right means if you're a citizen of Finland, in Finland, you can claim, if you don't have access to the internet, that it is your right. I'm citing this as an extreme example, a desirable example, but of course the most parts of the world are not in that situation. My second point is that I'm aware of the work which has been done, Laureen, by your team with members of the communities in ICANN. I think it would be useful if you could convey to us two things. One is all the links to the documents and the discussions which you have had so far. Unfortunately, I was not able to take part in that. And the second point is, although it may be a small additional work I'm asking you, I think it's very simple to do. It is to make a list of very specific reasons which have been invoked by businesses or some governments against including this notion of the public interest. Because I think that whereas both Wolf and Bill have given us a very good overview, I think our difficulty as community members is we don't want to inundate the world with a sort of Wikipedia view of or definition of the subject. It's rather to identify the sticking points. And I don't know, as a community member, what are all the arguments opposed. So if you define them and bring them to us, then we would work more efficiently. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Next in the queue, we have Annette Milberg.
Well, thank you, Wolf, for trying to give an overview on the European approach. I really think that's very valuable to have something that unites us, to have a discussion, what are the basic interests that we really share and what are the cultural aspects behind it, so that it makes work so much easier. And Lauren, I would be extremely curious to see what Wolf already mentioned. You know, are there really similar approaches all over the world? So what is it that we can say that we really share? And I think that's a great approach. I also would like to thank Bill to start to apply this a little more on the ICANN world. And in the discussion up to now, I think there are two, I would like to add aspects. The one is we are talking about in the ICANN world now about a basic IT communication structure. And my neighbor just said, yeah, basic services, right? So that is something we should have a look at. And it's the other issue is be available and accessible. So there are two keywords here, available and accessible to everyone. And then there is another importance here that raises, that comes up, is that it has also to do with decision-making processes. So just defining a public interest is not enough. It's not enough to talk about accessibility, but we also have to talk about decision-making processes. And it's also about avoiding monopolization. So we have an interesting example to make it a little bit more practical now in the ICANN context. For example, should a company be allowed to make the TLD.food as a closed TLD and or not? Is that something of public interest? Is that something of consumer rights? So just to give a feeling what in reality in the ICANN world the discussion could be and should be about, this is what I just want to add. Thank you.
Very much, Annette. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. It's funny you mentioned the closed generic top-level domain issue, which has been discussed in at large, and we've had various points of view, some being for it and some being against it. So there was some really strong discussion on that. Let's go down the queue. At the moment, I have Stefano Trumpi, Caroline Silvernagel, Oliver Pasek, Brenda Cotin, and Mathieu Camus. So next is Stefano.
Thank you, Cher. So this discussion is really very, very interesting because is the task of the at-large structures just to figure out what is the public interest and then to elaborate some statements and then try to merge in European area, because justly you mentioned that Europe may have different ideas from other regions for historical and cultural reasons. But so the point is that the at large structures should first of all listen to the people, listen to the problems. And you mentioned, and I agree, the fact that if you look at general principles, something that was made in Sao Paulo a year ago, it is easier. But when you have to create a public interest opinion on something that is more practical, as some questions were mentioned by my predecessor here. Then it becomes more difficult because certainly the stakeholders that are involved have possibly some conflict of interest, or they have the fear that there is a conflict of interest. So it is very, very important to talk with the stakeholders and to let them to admit or to elaborate if from the users and from the private sector there is or not a real conflict of interest. So those that are involved in this have to apply some relativity because also we have to take in mind the fact that historically, a year, 2 years later, maybe the problem of defining public interest may change. Simply to make an example, before the starting of new GTLD's program, the contribution of Verisign to the budget of ICANN was 55%. So is this something that is of public interest? It might well be that at the point when you consider this, you say there are historical reasons, and then in order not to interrupt or to make some damage, then it's better to accept this, but provisionally, let's say, and then try to enlarge the distribution of the revenues in the private sector. So we need really this relativity in judging and forming the public interest. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Stefano. Another interesting angle. Earlier, there was a mention of individual interests, and I think Bill mentioned that as well. Are these vested interests? There was a question mark at the end of my sentence, yeah. Individual interest, vested interest, is that the same thing?
Well, not necessarily. It depends. I mean, part of the question is, how are those interests represented within the process? So, for example, you could argue that there are individual interests of players who may not be party to the decision-making processes and who don't get directly represented. On the other hand, there are people who are actors who may be engaged and indeed may try capture. And so that's one of the challenges, right, is how do you representation of the non-involved as well as ensuring that those who are involved do not unduly steer things.
Thanks, Bill. Carolyn Silvernagel is next.
So this is more a question to Lauren. Thank you for the three of you to give us such a good introduction and overview. I wanted to ask you something just to get a better grasp on how I can address this and now like dives deep into the topic. And that's, if I understood you right, ICANN is trying to kind of create a case law, right? So how the concept of public interest has already been implemented, where it appears in different documents, not only the bylaws and the regulatory framework around the organization, but also in like the GTLD program. So is that correct? So you're reviewing all of these important milestones of ICANN history for the implementation and the actual usage of interest as a concept?
So rather than it being a case law as such, it's more that we're just creating background research so that it's available. So, for instance, one of the things we did was an inventory of any reference to the term public interest in any documentations that ICANN. So we have all of the different, whether it's affirmation of commitments, whether it's the public interest commitments. We've gone through all of the documents that ICANN to see where the term is so that when the broader conversation starts, where that this is going to have to be considered. So what does public interest mean for even whether it's decision-making or not, what does public interest mean for at large? What does public interest mean for the board? What does public interest mean for the communications department? So looking at what are the implications for each individual group and organization that makes up ICANN, and then also just having all of the resources available so that everybody has proper background as well.
Are you also looking and that's my actual follow-up, are you also looking at the usage of the concept by the powerful stakeholders, like the constituencies or the GAC, and especially linking it to the cases where ICANN board followed these argumentations? Because, I mean, from my point of view as an observer of ICANN decision-making, the concept has been used by a lot of constituencies and stakeholders over the last years and intensely so, but in very different angles and very different schools of thought. And what I for the moment being, I don't have a clear grasp on if ICANN actually more follows what the multi-stakeholders or the stakeholders kind of push into the process as the concept of interest, or if there is kind of a core understanding of that at ICANN that kind of relates to or like confronts the interpretation of the stakeholder groups themselves?
So that's a fantastic question, and it actually will lead me to asking a question to this group as well. One of the things we had done with the departments at ICANN is created a survey that went through all of these questions, basically asking them to highlight where it was used, what the understanding was in each department, if there was one, whether it was implicit or explicitly referenced. In department work, we have a survey that could be used by the community group. We haven't extended this to the community groups yet because we wanted to see what would be most useful for all of the different groups. So we have a survey that we could circulate at the community groups if that would be useful. And what we would do is take that survey and the responses from that survey and build a similar report that would give an overview of, like you said, how is it used at GAC? How does it come into play, whether that's at, you know, the GNSO level or, you know, the NPOC level, where is it used, how is it referenced, and it might give us more background and, like you say, a better overview as well. So if that's useful, we're certainly happy to facilitate something like that, but we want to make sure that it's a very bottom-up and as inclusive work as possible. So that question I would bounce back for anyone speaking after. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Let's go to the next person in the list, Oliver Pasek.
I would also emphasize that global public interest is a kind of DNA for what the political ambitions of Eurelo mean, and so we have to take that into the processes. And I think of outside processes, but very strong political links to users, tops. Let's take, for example, European Union lawmaking in copyright. There are issues on the table like licenses for hyperlinks or for embedded videos, and discussions again about restrictions for providers and consumers to contents. Then, of course, we have the more closer ICANN-linked processes in which also questions of public goods are very important. Jana transition. And of course, not to forget, I think this might be added, the transparency inside ICANN structures, things like currency, things like portfolio management systems, public comment possibilities, and those things. This should also be integrated in this theory with practical issues.
You, Oliver. In the queue at the moment, we have Breda Ken, Mathieu Camus, Miguel Perez-Subias, Bogdan Manolea, and Irio Lensipuro. Quite a long queue. Let's try and see if we can go through it. Breda, you're next.
Breda Kutin from Slovenia, but I also quite heavily in work in consumer work on European and global level, work it with European Consumer Association, BEOC, with Transatlantic Consumer Dialogue. And so I would say that in ICANN we are not quite visible or loud, but the question of public interest for me, not being a lawyer, because it's a lot of legal work on the European level, not even politician, but a consumer activist, it's rather simple. It's what does it mean practically in everyday life? What does it mean, a public interest? And public interest for consumer activists is consumer or citizen well-being. It depends when you put a limit between consumer, and sometimes it's quite thin. And so putting the public interest in front of profit business, so That's a very key question, which nowadays I think it's coming back quite heavily on the agenda. And if I look this from consumer right perspective, you know, it's we are talking about availability, access, choice, safety, and some of the services are already considered as universal service, and access to internet and net neutrality are, from our point of view, universal services. Nowadays, based on European legislation, we have, for instance, a right for a basic bank account. So it's considered as a basic right. So the access to internet should be also a sort of a basic right, something what we wouldn't discuss 10 or 15 years ago, but nowadays it's sort of a basic right. Without that, we cannot function properly. But it's also important that decision-making process is open for public interest, that means for consumer or civil representatives, and of course the question of transparency, which we can see it's highly appreciated in speeches, but very, very difficult concept in everyday life. I would say what we should actually start from the point of what we can do from the merit or the responsibility of ICANN, and from that cross-cutting, what can be done in that way to achieve a public interest.
Thank you, Breda. Next is Mathieu Camus.
Thank you, Wolf, for your work. Very difficult to provide a true definition of public interest. And I was looking in on the web pages of the European Commission. There is no definition. Even if in your paper you there is a section with constitutional basements, but in our various European countries we have several definitions of interest. The European Union provides a definition of public interest entities, but it's not really interesting in our case. In North America, the public interest could be understood like the sum of the individual interest. But in Europe, it's more than this sum of individual interest, to something else which really depends of the social general interests. And I think that to be closer to the public interest definition, we could talk of the notion of common good, and talking the internet as a common good, which lies really to the fundamental rights of the end users, to preserve the accessibility of the idea of the internet, and following a public interest in your case of Ruralo, it could be something like respecting the fundamental rights of end users.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I think Wolf might have a response or comment on this.
Yeah, just a quick one, perhaps a polemic one, but thanks for delivering the keyword. If you have a closer look on the European Commission over the last 30 years, I had to realize that because the European Union became, key principles from the early days more or less disappear or are not visible any longer. So if you see the power of corporate lobbying Brussels and how much your neighbor to the left, Oliver Pasek, he worked with the Greens in Brussels, so he could tell you stories about stories. But to show, take TIP and other examples. There is bureaucracy with vested corporate interests. And even parliamentarians in Germany are not allowed to see the negotiation paper. So this is quite the opposite what we understand under public interest. And for me, on the European level, my framing was always close to the Council of Europe. Our key documents come from the Council of Europe. Council of Europe is, for me, more or less us amongst the terms of reference. For me, the Commission became a nightmare, and over the last years, I do not trust them at all.
Very much, Wolf. Next is Bogdan Manolea.
I'll follow up on that a bit, because I think that about the definition of public interest, we could discuss 3 days in a row, and if we'll ask constitutionalists and philosophers come up, we'll discuss 2 weeks in a row. So maybe that shouldn't be our main focus only, but rather to to get an idea of what public interest means and to see how practically affects the ICANN. And I think there are two directions in which we need to look. First is the public interest in ICANN decision-making, and here the practical aspects would look into details such as transparency of procedures, receiving of comments from everyone, what businesses are involved in ICANN decision-making. And then there is the public interest in ICANN activities. And I think here there are simple issues that can be done even tomorrow if there is an interest where ICANN really stands up to its principles. For example, I will just name two. For example, to put a Creative Commons license on all the content that is available on the ICANN website, or, for example, to use free tools that are available for everyone. Because now we may try to connect to Adobe Connect, but Linux users, you get an error, so that doesn't work. So these kind of practical issues of implementation of a public interest is something that needs to be in ICANN's view for the next steps. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Bogdan, and I note that some of what you said was applauded by some people in the room. Next, we have Erio Lansipuro.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. I think that in discussing public interest, it's useful to take a look at the concept we use much, which is the internet community, and go back to the role this concept, to my mind, used to have by the time when everything started, really. And, for instance, the Articles of Incorporation of ICANN, Article 4, the corporation shall operate for the benefit of the internet community as a whole. And I think it depends now on our definition of what the internet community is. Does it include users? I think we think that that does. Now, how has this concept been able to scale? Because at the time of the setting up of ICANN, there were hundreds of million users, I think. It was still a minority. And we were looked at, even users were looked as some sort of propeller heads. Now, with 3 billion users, what does it mean for the internet community to have so many end users? And I think that this term could be brought in when we discuss interest.
Thanks, Sergio. And next in the queue is Miguel Perez Subias.
Hi, my name is Miguel from the Spanish Internet User Association. I want to share with you some a reflection about what will be useful for us, what we expect from ICANN. Okay, probably we try to find what we have in common, but nobody knows what we are doing in our country or in a local activity. Then for us, it will be very useful to know what each one in this community was doing in this country. Because, for instance, for me, just now I'm focused on privacy. And probably there are two people or two organizations that are working on privacy. For me, it's enough to contact with these two organizations. It's enough. Then if ICANN can give me a tool in order to know what is the general interest, the specific interest for each one, probably will be a way to build something interesting for everyone. Because I have no time. Probably I have time, but it's not my priority to have time to discuss about the global. I prefer to focus on my local interest, but sometimes I need help in order to push in the European Union in order to do something for copyright, for privacy, for it. I found three or four organizations that have the same interest than I have, then it would be very interesting for me. Then that's my suggestion. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for this, Miguel. We are going to all have a lunch together, and it's going to be, it's exactly for what you want, being able to network. You're all here face-to-face. Use this opportunity to talk to each other. You can continue discussing the global public interest or discuss anything else that you wish to discuss, but that's the time for you to all get to know each other. We have worked on a survey. It's a bit difficult because surveys, one never knows how to ask, and you get different answers depending on how the question is asked, and you never get the answer that you wanted because the interpretation of the question was not the question that you asked. Anyway, a mess. So when you see each other face-to-face, it's the best time. Next, we have Julia Morenets.
Thank you, Olivier. Julia Morenets, Tech Together Against Cybercrime. I actually would like to follow on what was said by Wolf concerning the basic principles which were discussed at the Council of Europe. And I remember the discussion which started in 2008, actually, in the working group of the Council of Europe working group on cross-border internet. And when the public interest was already discussed, and actually mostly what was discussed is the access to the internet as a basic human right and the right of users to have the right to be users of the internet. And I think it was an excellent paper which was produced actually as a recommendation to take the access to the internet as a basic human right. And I definitely think we have to have a look on this paper and to have it as a basic paper because it was produced at the level of the Council of Europe.
Thanks for this, Julia. Wolf, Ludwig.
Yeah, just a small comment. To my knowledge, Finland, it was mentioned before while you were not here already, Jure, Finland is the only European country which has this as a constitutional element already. And if I'm not misinformed, this goes back to the basic idea of the Council of Europe. And it was discussed in various other countries. No other country were as consequent as the Finnish at the time. And I think it was 3-4 years ago. And we strongly applauded that Finland finally made it. So there are. For me, it's a best practice. And for me, it could be implemented in other European countries because it's well-founded. It's a recommendation of the Council. So it could be easily applied all over Europe, but this is at the moment it's wishful thinking.
Thank you, Wolf.
Mine
just went pizzazz because I saw Caroline Silvernagel and then I saw you and thought, that's not Caroline. Go ahead, you.
it was nothing in the Constitution. It's just universal service thing, but nevertheless, I mean, the effect is the same.
Thank you, Erio. Caroline?
My question would be a little bit too procedurous because looking at the time, we have, I think, 6 minutes left. And so what is the goal to this discussion? Do we kind of approve anything today? Or, I mean, I think it will be difficult to do so. And if so, there is just an open question to the panel or to the moderation. And the other thing is that I just wanted to... I just opened the Eurelo bylaws and I think, 3.1, the introductional section on purpose of the association, it might be a little bit a good guidance here because... our group has the purpose to consider and provide advice on the activities of ICANN insofar as they relate to the interest of the individual European internet users. And I think, just standing bold behind what Wolf started, the European tradition on public interest and how, this region of the world sees it, could be an angle to address it and to kind of break it down to something that we actually are able to agree on. And the other hand, to actually focus on the purpose of our structure, which is providing advice from the perspective of the internet user. So it's a smaller piece of the cake, still a huge piece, but a little bit smaller than what we are addressing right now, I think.
Thank you, Caroline. Olivier Crépin, Roland speaking. So on the process, yes, we have about 5 minutes left to this session. We have that paper in our hands. I think that it was the aim of Wolf to try and get this paper adopted by one here. But there have also been very interesting contributions here. And Lauren has been taking notes, I believe. I was hoping that Wolf... Bill here, just for closing statements and so on.
He may come back. His watch is still here. So.
Okay, so that's good. So I hand the floor first to Wolf,
yeah.
and then we'll... Yeah, go ahead.
Just Wolf Ludwig, for the records. Just to contextualize it properly again. It was first an idea. Then I tried to break the long paper, the long working paper, which is more than 15 pages, down to 2 pages, really to reduce to the essentials. And deliver it as an input to this General Assembly. What I understood, what I have heard from your feedback and contributions, I think we share this common value. And as Caroline properly said, this was also reflected at the very beginning in the mission order, somehow in the statutes. So it was only, it was always part of the political identity of our community. And for me, it was always sort of pleasure to count on this common understanding. Whether you look on it from a consumer point of view, whether you look on it from a privacy point of view. So all this has to do with basic rights and fundamental freedoms, what is all oriented in the tradition of the original Bill of Rights, is oriented in the public interest. So the idea was, if we can agree, not word by word, I'm not a native speaker, and a native speaker may find some very substantial mistakes, etc., but I try to make it as clear as possible. So it could be re-edited to make it better. But if we can agree on the substance and on the spirit of this paper, we could approve it by this General Assembly, together with the mandate to hand it over to Azarelos, ALEC, inviting them. We cannot force them, we can impose nothing on Azarelos, but can invite and encourage them to treat it in their, to read it in their regional context, and perhaps to find out what are similarities, etc., or equivalents in this context. So it could be enriched by some more relos, and perhaps after a year come up with a paper including contributions from 3 to 4 or 5 other regions. So this would be another point, then we could adopt it on the ALEC level. And parallelly, we could think about, I think it's a shared value with NCUC. It's a shared value, I know, with certain GAC people. So this is for me also in a strategic consideration. This could be an alliance between a public interest-oriented or based constituencies. So we could work together into this direction. So this is a framing under which this paper was written. So an adoption of the spirit would be nice here, and then we could forward it, hand it over to other regions.
Wolf, we have Sandra Hofreicher.
Thank you, Sandra Hofreicher speaking. I think this is a very good idea, the one posing, Wolf, especially to share this paper with the other relos, because historical backgrounds may be different in that regions, but I think it's a very, very good approach to look at the history first, what public interest means in each region. It will be totally different, I guess, in Asia-Pacific, Afralo, or Latin America. And I think this community is really the right place to kickstart such a discussion about the public interest, because as it was mentioned here in this or during this session already, public interest is claimed by many stakeholder groups. But I think this group, the internet user, has the reliability and the legibility to really start a discussion and pave the ground for a broader approach with an ICANN. I very much agree with what you just proposed, and would also like to thank you for putting this out. This was a really great thesis paper and kickstart for a very enlightening and interesting discussion today. Thank you, Wolf.
Thank you, Sandra. Caroline Sivanagel. Okay, so Mikhail Midrish.
Thank you, Wolf. It's very interesting. And as for me, maybe to add a bit, you see, when I'm looking and seeing word interest, I'm searching for subject of interest. Public is very general. Maybe to add something about what is inside public. Users, governments, maybe business, maybe. To think about it, yeah.
Thank you, Michael. We're going to have some more discussion of this over lunch. Bill Drake.
I just wanted to, I agree with the idea of sharing the paper around and so on. I just wanted to flag one concern. Just be aware that, I mean, you are aware, but just underscore, that there will be efforts to sort of capture the term. We already see all the time GAC and other business group and various business groupings claiming.
Please don't use the acronyms. So Government Advisory Committee.
Government Advisory. Governments and various industry factions often say that they are doing something because of in the public interest, and their conceptions of what that involves may be very different from, say, Wolf's. And so, therefore, this is why I think it would be at least useful to try to reach some sort of consensus on some basic guiding elements. And so because Lauren didn't mention, Quaynor's group said, ICANN defines the global public interest as ensuring that the Internet becomes and continues to be stable, inclusive, and accessible across the globe, but all may enjoy a single and open Internet. Now, stable, inclusive, accessible. I would say, you know, we might want to start trying to focus on a few core concepts that are potentially generalizable and ask, are there ways in which these don't map to ICANN? Are there ways in which these do inform the range of ICANN activities? And try and build from there. That would be a way to try to start that dialogue, because I think you would probably find in Asia, in Africa, elsewhere, that similar core concepts do recur.
Thanks, Bill. I note there's more hands coming up. I'm going, Annette, we don't have the time, and you've already, but we have Bastien Gosselings, who hasn't spoken yet. So if we could have the microphone for Bastien. Jean-Jacques, just two words, and Lauren, you'll be closing. And I think the way forward is to just ask then one question. Are there any objections to the way that has been described both by Wolf and by Bill? So I will be conducting a consensus call and asking if there are any objections. If there are, then we'll need to discuss this further in the future. If there are not, then we'll at least know a way forward. Bastien, you have the
Thank you very much. Bastien Gosselings, ISOC Netherlands. Thank you for the opportunity to add something to this. Not a question, but maybe a comment related, and I think very important for the end user constituency. I was invited this morning to comment on a report that was published, ICANN's Corporate Responsibility Human Rights. There's a working party for that inside the non-commercial stakeholders group constituency, if I'm correct. And one of the reasons...
It's actually a cross-community working party now, yeah. So the ALIC is also part of it. So
but that's because that's why I'm asking not how much aware ALIC is of this, but as Wolf referred to the Council of Europe, one of the things that spurred this was a report of the Council of Europe and paraphrasing their conclusion that interest as such is too vague, and this would be our way... Not maybe covering the entire concept, but to make it more specific. And there's a lot of work on that being done. As far as I'm aware, also in the CCWG, there's work on it being done to incorporate it in the ICANN's bylaws. So I think that's very important for ALIC as well to be involved in. And that's the case, and I'm very happy about that. But I wanted to, for the record, include this.
Thank you, Bastien. That will be included. We have to clear out. Okay, Jean-Jacques, can we maybe defer or...
Thanks. Two points, two requests. One, continuing on Bill's remarks, I think that to be the most efficient, we have to actually get, as I requested earlier from Lauren, a list of the specific objections we have heard so far from business and some governments, etc., on the public interest. And two, I want to strongly support Wolf's suggestion. I was about to make it, in fact, half an hour ago, that we go to the RALOs, but more importantly, I think, we should inform ALAC immediately and ask for ALAC support as a collective effort. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. And Lauren Allison, you have closing words.
Just once again, thank you very much for inviting me along today. I have been taking note of all of the suggestions that people have been making of things that will be useful. I just wanted to know as well, in moving forward, what is the best way to communicate? I think we've had suggestions several times now of a wiki space, so we'll certainly look into that and see if we can put all of those links up there as well. And then also possibly some planning for whether it be Marrakesh or next on from there. It would be great to have a point of contact. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And finally, consensus call. Are there any objections to approve the plan roughly brought forward by both Bill and by Wolf? Any abstentions? Okay, so we're all there. Thank you very much. And this meeting is closed. We don't need to record the housekeeping. The meeting is closed. Thank you. And thanks to the interpreters for the additional few minutes.
Thank you. This is off record then. Just to remind the ALSers who have responded to the lunch invitation, you've all received your maps to come to lunch.